friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning are the words of the Spirit through His servant Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 11, selected verses. Put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul, and tie them on your wrists as signs and as symbols on your forehead. Teach them to your children by talking about them when you sit in your house and when you travel on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many on the land that the Lord promises to your fathers with an oath, as many as the days that the heavens remain over the earth. You see, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, or the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and you turn away from the path that I am commanding you today by walking after other gods whom you did not know. The word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, how do you remind yourself? In the 2010 motion picture, I think we call them movies sometimes, called Inception, the main characters figured out how to get inside someone else's dream. But it was more intricate than that. They could get inside a dream within a dream, and eventually, in a dream within a dream within a dream, in order to plant an idea so that a rich and powerful man would change the world. It's a fascinating, almost nonsensical movie, actually. But I wanted to point something out about that movie that I like. Each main character has a totem, so that when they come out of the dream, they can know that they're really out of the dream. It's what they called a totem, a little object that had personal meaning to each character. They knew how it felt, they knew its weight, and if they weren't sure if they were in a dream, they'd pull it out of their pocket and hold it. And that would be a reminder to them if they were in reality or still stuck in someone else's dream. Pretty fascinating, isn't it? By the end of the movie, when Leonardo DiCaprio isn't sure, he puts his totem on a table, and his happens to be a top, and he spins it. And after this big, great movie, they succeed at their job. They plant the idea in the rich, powerful person's mind to change the world, and Leonardo DiCaprio's character gets to see his kids. But at the end of the movie, even though the totem falters a little bit, we don't get to see if it drops. The screen cuts to black, and we're left wondering, did the reminder really work? Did they really make it out of the dream? And was it really a happy ending? We all have reminders. Some of them are very important. What reminders do you have? Probably a lot of us talk our reminders into the phone, don't we? Or maybe it's as simple as writing it down, putting it on a sticky note, maybe making out a list. Ellie's had three lists going for our upcoming trip. Now we're through with them, and Theo can play with them. Our son can play with those little lists. He likes to crinkle paper. Maybe you have just that old-fashioned reminder of tying a string to your finger. And that's how you remember things. But I'd like to ask you, do you have a reminder to go back to God's Word? Do you have something special that you plan throughout your day, or something once a day, or throughout your week or month, to remember, I need to go and hear what God has to say in my personal devotion time? I need to go to church. It's Sunday. And as each day bleeds into the next during this corona time, maybe sometimes you forget that it's Sunday and that it's time to go and hear what God has to say, or time to click in and watch the live stream for church. Well, God has some pretty powerful reminders. He had some very powerful reminders for His people, And these reminders were very physical. They involved the people of Israel's whole body and their whole routine. It was very important to God that they kept these reminders. And if you look around, you'll see that we, as a Christian church in the New Testament, also have reminders. Simply the minister raising his hands like this is a reminder that God comes to you with blessing. Or the sign of the cross reminds you of Jesus, your Savior, who suffered the torture and pain of our grief and our guilt on our behalf. Or the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit not only remind you whom we're worshiping today, but should bring you back to your baptismal promises and remind you that you are His child and He's put His name on you. Or an altar reminds you of Jesus' sacrifice again and the other sacrament, the Lord's Supper, and all of His gifts He has to give to each communicant. We have so many reminders. Some of them are as simple as a triangle or a rainbow or a fish. All of those things can be very powerful reminders. So powerful, in fact, that these reminders promise us life. And as it turns out, when the Lord tells His people to tie certain reminders into their daily life, the fact of the matter is that the Lord also does some tying. The Lord ties words of life to a life of the Word. What do we mean by that? Let's take a look at the text. This is Moses. He's speaking to his people. He says, "Put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul." And as it turns out, through the next paragraph, this still continues to be the main point. Moses wanted the people to remember God's words. Just let's set the stage and explain why. Because Moses had been there from the very beginning of this exodus, or this exit out of Egypt. God had chosen Moses to go back and lead His people. And through Moses, He channeled these 10 plagues upon the Egyptians to prove to them how powerful He was and how impotent their gods were. And then, through Moses, He brought the Red Sea to part for the Israelites as they left, and then to swallow up their enemies who were trying to bring them back into slavery. Moses led the people throughout 40 years in the wilderness, and now they were at the outskirts of the Holy Land, the gateway to God's promise. But Moses had learned from God that he wasn't going to be allowed into the promised land. And so he delivers the book of Deuteronomy, a last sermon to all of God's people to remember the commandments and the promises that God had given them this whole way along. The word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Moses doesn't necessarily add anything here. He repeats what God has done for them and what God commands of them before God takes him into heaven and the people enter the land under a new leader, Joshua. And as Moses tells his people, as Moses tells God's people all these commands and promises that they're supposed to remember, all these words of God, he makes it a very literal memory device. He talks about putting God's word on their wrists and between their eyes, on their head, and on their doorways as they enter and as they leave. Hebrews have a special name for this. In fact, if you have any Jewish friends, maybe you know some Orthodox Jews, someone who still does this. The Hebrew word for what was on their foreheads and on their wrists is tefillah. That's the Hebrew word. Or in Greek, phylacteries. Maybe you've heard the word phylacteries. They literally tie cubes with a strap around their wrists, and inside this leather cube is a little scroll of the word of the Lord. They do the same thing on their foreheads. In obedience to this command, some of the Jewish people still take this very literally and put what's called a mezuzah on their doorpost, so that when they go out and when they come back in, they see the word of God is there. Just little reminders throughout the day. Not as magic charms, not as good luck charms, at least that's not what God intended. But it's not a bad idea to think about how the people obeyed this literally. We have records going back to the first century before Christ of the people obeying this literally. Should you and I take it literally? I'm not sure that we have to tie up God's word on our wrists. Wouldn't be a bad idea, but you could do it. I'm not sure that we have to tie it on our foreheads. But the point of God commanding all of this was so that the people would keep his words on their heart and on their soul. This is the literal part. This is our takeaway. Because it's true what Deuteronomy says and what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Don't leave God's word at the tabernacle on Saturday. Or for New Testament Christians, we could say the same thing. Don't just leave God's word at church on Sunday. Don't box it in and put it in a different place. Don't be a part-time believer in this faithful God, but be a full-time believer in the God who brings you out of slavery, who rescues you from sin, and who has so many great promises for you. That's the important part. And we see Jesus repeating this commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind in the New Testament. We see Jesus saying, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all your earthly needs will be given to you as well. And so we believers can still take powerful reminders out of God's word. We really need to remember God's word is for us throughout the whole week and has to do with our whole life. It should be really something that is patterned throughout our day. It's something very important for us each and every moment, that God has his words for us. In fact, Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. But what doesn't God expect? What I really like about this word of God is that he doesn't expect the people to put his laws in front of their eyes so they can't see, or to cuff their wrists with God's word so they're back into slavery under just a God of laws, or to put God's word in front of their doorway so they can't get in or out. God's words weren't intended to be obstacles. Instead, the whole point was, if you look down at your hands, you see God's word. In fact, if you look anywhere, you've got God's word between your eyes, and you have to see everything through it. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us, too. To see everything through God's word. I don't have to tell you the latest news headline to show you that in this dream world, it's a little bit more like a nightmare. In the world where we live, things are dark and sinful, and all kinds of consequences of sin are all around us. In fact, sometimes, oftentimes, we even participate in this sin. We don't know how to keep our mouths shut, and we don't know how to speak up when we ought to. We don't know how to follow God's laws completely to a T, and the world around us isn't helping any. It's important for us to have a reminder that there is a reality beyond this one, a reality in the life to come. And that's the kind of promise that God attaches to these words of life. Because he doesn't only show us how to live by the word, he shows us how to depend on words of life. Here's what he says. If they were going to follow these commandments and these ordinances to tie God's words into their everyday life for their heart and for their soul, God says this in verse 21, so that your days and the days of your children may be many on the land that the Lord promises to your fathers with an oath, as many as the days that the heavens remain over the earth. Sometimes we call this the pledge of life, especially when God attaches long life to people who obey the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's the first commandment with a promise, and it's not an empty promise. If God's people were to tie his words onto their lives, onto their hearts, onto their souls, the length of his people's days would be extended and increased. And this was especially crucial if you understand where the Israelites were going, where God was bringing them into this special promised land. Because there were all these other nations around them who would try to tear them away from God's word. It was crucial for them to have this special hedge, not just in God's Ten Commandments, but in all of their civil laws. All of their normal day-to-day lives and rules as a theocracy for their government. And you see throughout the history of Israel, every time that they try and make friends and alliances with the nations around them, something sacrificed. They join up with other idols and sacrifice the word of the Lord until finally that promised land of this earth is torn away from the children of Israel because they couldn't keep it. God wanted them to be hedged off from those other nations. And so he offered not only commands and warnings, but also promises. So it's important for us also to know that God doesn't just attach life and long life and eternal life to the gospel. He attaches it to the law. Theoretically, if you and I could follow God's law perfectly to a T, if we could complete every command that God has for our lives, for our daily living, whether that's Old Testament and the moral law or New Testament, as God says, the moral law hasn't gone away. Jesus has fulfilled it, but these moral truths are still for you. And it's important to continue in our sanctified life and abide by them. Well, guess what? Then you do get eternal life if you can follow those laws. The trouble is that each of us is a sinner. The trouble is that there is no difference. All fall short of the glory of God. And when it comes to God's law, it's a lot like a chain. If one link is broken, the whole law shatters. You might think of this pledge of life, this promise, as like a great big chandelier for all of us to enjoy. And we'd get to keep that chandelier if only we could keep the chain links above it, attaching it to the ceiling intact. But every time you and I, as sinners, sin and violate God's law, and one link on that chain breaks, the whole chandelier comes down and shatters. And so does our relationship with God. It's broken because of sin. If only there was someone perfect, who could keep the law, keep that chain intact, so that we could all enjoy that chandelier of God's promises, that eternal life. If there was only someone with divine powers who could maintain this connection with God the Father and give it to each of us, simply credit us with his record of righteousness. This is how the Lord keeps his promise of life even now. Like the Jews of old and the Jews of today, we have failed to keep God's law always before us. It would seem like such a lost cause for us to hope in God's law. But our God has given his one and only Son. He has followed those laws and kept a holy life for us. There was no deceit in his mouth. Never did he break a commandment of God. And his will was always aligned with God the Father's. He was there to be perfect and to suffer innocently for us on our behalf. He always kept God's word before him. He achieved blessing and long life, not just for this earth, but forever and in heaven above. He didn't do it for himself, but he achieved it for his people, that whoever should believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So now with Moses, you can love the Lord wholeheartedly. By faith alone in Jesus, like King David, you can delight in the law of the Lord. And like Jesus, you have the promises of God's life everlasting. In his name. Amen.